Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, as ever, your jovial host, David Connolly. So, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Zimbabwe's prehistoric paintings show the past and celebrate life in the future. An Irish motorway bypass could run close to Newgrange and threaten its World Heritage status. And believe it or not, Stonehenge Visitor Centre is finally approved. There are Iron Age adventures in England for kids in February, and more Iron Age adventures, where the golden torques are now on display in Edinburgh. There's a report on a search for an ancient settlement in southern Spain, I'm afraid linked to Atlantis, and back down to Earth, 3,000-year-old remains of a woman are found in California. The Stanton Drew Circle in England is older than previously thought, and we finish on another Good News Henge story, where Seahenge is set to be completed. Inaki Cave is one of hundreds painted by the San people, commonly called Bushmen, about 5,000 to 10,000 years ago, located in what is now Matobo National Park in Zimbabwe. Unlike the dark underground caves of Lascaux and Altamira in Europe, these are located high up on granite slopes in shelves scooped from the sides of hills. They are shelters filled with light and open to surrounding vistas. Beneath Inaki's encompassing dome, herds of giraffe, eland and ostrich fill a broad painted band running the length of the back wall just above eye level. They offer a celebration of life equal to any of the mural cycles of the Renaissance. Generally rendered in silhouette of ochre ranging from tan to mulberry in tone, the dense profusion of wildlife includes a giraffe so subtly modelled in yellow and white that one of the leading experts on African rock art, Peter Garlake, has called it the finest animal painting in the country. Next to this vivid creature, seven stick-like men march and file with their weapons on their shoulders, and many other human figures are scattered amongst the animals. But these are far from simple hunting scenes. A succession of highly unrealistic forms dominate the middle of the frieze in several peripheral areas. One figure towers over the menagerie with the body of a man whose head is shrunk to a tiny knob and whose shoulders sprout branch-like stems. Unlike the images in European caves, whose cultures are now lost, these can be interpreted with considerable clarity because of the pioneering work of the 19th century linguists who learned the click language of the San and recorded beliefs that seem to have endured for millennia. This evidence has enabled archaeologists to unlock the significance of the many fantastic images of the San paintings. The hunched giant of Inaki almost certainly represents a San shaman deep in the state of trancing. A ritual still practiced by the San as a means of gathering the forces of nature and healing suffering. The dense, overlapping paintings of Inaki probably accumulated over centuries, if not millennia, and do not constitute a continuous narrative in the sense of Western art. Yet their longevity and diversity make them especially compelling expressions of the San cosmology. In 2003, UNESCO's World Heritage Programme named Matobo Hills one of the two cultural landscapes in southern Africa, although this recognition now includes no financial support for conservation. Despite the professionalism of Matobo's rangers, the political and economic instability in Zimbabwe places the paintings in peril. The unrestricted access that is so desirable for admirers leaves the works exposed to defacement by vandals unaware or dismissive of their place in our collective history. This is one of these hidden world worries that perhaps need more highlighting, and with beautiful evocative articles like the one I've just read you there, perhaps more people will take notice. Now, talking of World Heritage status, we'll cross over to Ireland, where it's claimed the ancient Bruna Boyne sites around Newgrange may lose their World Heritage status if the proposed M2 motorway goes ahead. The National Monuments Forum warned if changes are not made to the new motorway plans, the area near the Boyne in County Meath in Ireland is likely to lose recognition from UNESCO. The proposed bypass will be 500 metres away from the buffer zone around the World Heritage Site at Bruna Boyne, which comprises the ancient megalithic tombs at Newgrange, Nowth and Douth. The environmental impact statement for the project acknowledges that 44 archaeological sites will be within 500 metres of the roadway and that the potential to uncover much more during the work is incredibly high. While there will be a visual impact from the river, the environmental impact statement says there will be negligible impact on the site. Dr. George Egan, Professor Emeritus of Archaeology at University College Dublin, said the new motorway is too close to the monuments and will have considerable impact on the surrounding landscape. 500 metres is simply too close, and it's conceivable that Newgrange could lose its World Heritage status, he said. The site can be saved if Environmental Minister John Gormley fast-tracks the new National Monuments Bill 2009, according to the National Monuments Forum. In the latest chapter in the 20-year-long saga surrounding the English Heritage Back project, Wiltshire County Council approved the £20 million proposals for the Airman's Corner site, 2.5 kilometres west of Stonehenge. Plans for the closure of the A344 adjacent to the stones will now be submitted for approval. English Heritage has welcomed the recent decision by Wiltshire County Council's Planning Committee to approve plans for the new visitor centre for Stonehenge. Lorraine Knowles, Stonehenge Project Director for English Heritage, said that this is an important step in returning Stonehenge to a more dignified setting and creating facilities more fitting for a world-renowned tourist attraction. We can now begin to look forward to providing a much improved, high-quality experience for visitors at an environmentally sensitive development. The scheme will enhance the monument setting by removing the existing visitor facilities, including car parking, and improving the visitor experience with new exhibitions and educational facilities. A fully accessible transit system will also run from the new visitor centre to a drop-off point near the stones. Youngsters are preparing to be taken back to the Iron Age at an archaeology fun day this February half-term at Ham Hill County Park at Stoke-Subhampden in South Somerset. The event, organised and run by South Somerset District Council's Countryside Rangers, will give children the opportunity to dig for artefacts, make their own coins, have their faces painted as an Iron Age warrior, and piece together Roman mosaics. Bookings are now being taken ahead of the event. A session for under-8s will take place between 10 a.m. and 12 noon, and over-8 session will take place between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Both of these events will be on Thursday, February the 18th. It's part of a series of events being held by the District Council over the school holidays to provide educational outdoor activities at the Green Flag County Park, Country Park, with Heritage Lottery funding support. Sessions cost only £4 per child and free for the accompanying adult. So if you want to get involved in that, book now on 01935 845 946. I'll give you that number again. It's 01935 845 946 if you're in South Somerset or close to it even. And still in the Iron Age, and a subject close to my heart, in fact, I'll be looking at them very closely indeed next week. A hoard of Iron Age jewellery found by a treasure hunter in Stirlingshire in Scotland has gone on display in Edinburgh. The four solid gold neck ornaments, or torques, could be more than 2,000 years old. They are now owned by the Crown and will be placed on public view at the National Museums of Scotland for the next 3 weeks. Fraser Hunter, the museum's curator, said the four gold torques are beautiful objects and have many stories to tell. Further excavations have been carried out in the field where the find was made, but no further gold has been discovered. However, archaeologists have found a timber-framed building, and they believe the site could have been some kind of shrine. Mr. Hunter said that the torques may have been an offering to an unknown god, as this is no normal domestic site. Meanwhile, the future of the gold is yet to be decided. It's currently under care of the Treasure Trove Unit, which has lent it to the museum so the public can get an idea of what the find is like. David Caldwell of the unit said that after the display, the next step would be to have the items properly valued. Finders have no ownership rights in Scotland and must report all objects to the Treasure Trove Unit, but they may receive a reward equal to the value. The gold is going to be on public view until the 10th of February. A team of researchers from Spain's Higher Council for Scientific Study are examining a marshy area of the Andalusian parkland to find evidence of a 3,000-year-old settlement. They believe that Tartessos, a wealthy civilization in southern Iberia that predates the Phoenicians, may have had its capital in the heart of what is now the Donana National Park. Until now, historians had dismissed the region as a possible site, believing that it was submerged since the Ice Age. But its claimed new evidence suggests the waters may have receded in the time of the Tartessians, allowing them to build an urban centre, which was later destroyed in a tsunami. Archaeological findings have already proved the existence of Tartessian culture at sites on the opposite bank of the river. Aerial photographs show the existence of large circular and rectangular forms that could not have been produced by nature. The images, together with the literary account by ancient Greek geographers, has given weight to the theory that the great Tartessian city once existed within the park. The Tartessian civilization, which developed in southern Spain between the 11th and 7th centuries BCE, became rich trading gold and silver from local mines, and has long, believe it or not, been linked by mythologists to the great Atlantis legend. Say no more. The skeletal remains of a Native American woman who have likely lived more than 3,000 years ago were uncovered by trenching work at Carmel Valley Ranch in California. Construction workers uncovered the ancient grave and immediately told the county and state officials. Salinas archaeologist Gary Brescini went to the site with a coroner's deputy, which he often does when possible remains of Native Americans are discovered. He said the partially uncovered remains were those of a woman, probably 28 to 30 years old, who lived with members of the Esalen tribe more than 30 centuries ago. He estimated the age of the woman by examining the comparative wear on her molars. Native Americans who moved into the area at the time made acorns a major part of their diet, and they typically had far more wear on their teeth. Under state law, the California Native American Heritage Commission designates the deceased's most likely descendants, and that person is now responsible for deciding on how to handle their remains. Normally, the preference is to leave them in place, which is fair enough. Archaeologists have discovered the collection of prehistoric standing stones at Stanton Drew in Somerset, England, is actually older than originally thought. During geophysical surveys last summer, they found the outline of a burial mound dating from nearly 1,000 years before the stone circle itself. The surveys were carried out by Bath and Camerton Archaeological Society and the council's archaeological officer. A follow-up dig confirmed the burial mound dating to 1,000 years before the stone circle. Given the new dating by John Oswin, the upright stones of the cove, the three large stones in the beer garden of the Druids' Arms, might be better explained as the portals or facade of a chambered tomb, similar to the stony Littleton Longbarrow near Wellow. Bath and North East Somerset Council archaeology officer Richard Sermon said that Stanton Drew has been much neglected compared to Avebury and Stonehenge. This will hopefully raise its profile with scholars, and Stanton Drew will be recognised as one of the major prehistoric sites in England. The full report can actually be downloaded at this URL, if you're ready. It's tinyurl.com. That was tinyurl.com/YBORFYF. That was YBORFYF. I just have to say that I do like the fact that you've got standing stones in a pub garden. I'll go to that one. And finally, an iconic ancient monument uncovered by the tides on a Norfolk beach in England will soon be complete for the first time in a decade. Scientists have been studying and preserving the Seahenge timber circle since it was first excavated at home near Hunstanton in the early 1999. There were protests after archaeologists decided to remove the upturned oak stump and ring of 55 posts from the sands, but the 4,000-year-old structure shed new light on how our ancestors lived, showing that Bronze Age society was much more advanced than previously been believed. Thousands have been to see the timbers, which went on show 2 years ago at King's Lynn Museum. Experts had spent nearly a decade drying out the posts and immersing them in special wax. But the far larger central stump, an upturned tree which may have formed part of an altar, took a further 2 years to be preserved by maritime archaeologists at the Mary Rose Trust in Portsmouth. Now the stump is ready to be installed in the centre of the timber circle. Lynn Museum will close for 4 months from January the 30th to allow the work to take place. Following a major redevelopment, the Lynn Museum reopened to the public in April 2008 with a new gallery completely devoted to Seahenge. Since then, thousands of visitors have flocked to view the timbers. Archaeologists at Flag Fen near Peterborough dated the stump to the spring of 2049 BCE. Axe marks in the trunk showed metal tools were far more common than had previously been believed, while the number of people involved in building the circle showed a society that was far more organised than had previously been thought as well. The museum will reopen in early summer, and during part of the closure, the nearby Townhouse Museum will open and will offer free admission from February to March. Well, it just goes for me to wish them all the best on their relaunch. And can I just say that the Badger Forum has relaunched. It's an amazing new system. It's you'll find it at BAJRFED, badgerfed.co.uk. And there you'll get all the latest news and the forum, and also a brand new gallery where you can actually upload your own photographs of archaeology around the world. I also have to say that Maggie, my wife, has been busily working away on the next edition of Past Horizons magazine, which should be ready in a couple of weeks. Can I also remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library, guidance and more, can be found on Badger, the Big Badger that is, www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. So thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return once more to us.